Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Hi. Yes, so I'm Pierre, working at PSC, and this is a presentation done jointly with Arnaud, who is working at Zero Spark. So we are going to walk you through the library that we have been working on with Winderica as well and Carlos over the past year. So let me first introduce you a bit to the concept of IVC, which means incrementally verifiable computation. So the main entry point to understanding what is incrementally verifiable computations is that those are kind of computations that are repetitive. So for instance, you see this little math formula states that you can obtain the result Sn when you apply a function n times on some initial state, zero. So to give you some more concrete example, you can think of it as a machine learning model, which always does the same inferences on some different data points, or maybe some virtual machine with a fixed set of opcodes, which does some repetitive computations, or a rollup, which always batch verifies signatures again and again and again, and even the blockchain consensus, where the same consensus algorithm is applied again and again. So what are the benefits of IVC schemes that use folding? So this is where the folding schemes thing comes in. So folding schemes are used to basically realize incrementally verifiable computation. And you can see on this diagram that the idea is that at every step of the function, you will get a public input, so the little z, and a witness, so w, the little w thing. And at every time the computation is being done, you will have a new public state, z1, and maybe if you want to redo another step of the computation, you will have a new witness, w1. So what you can see, and that's interesting, is that the f function is applied independently every time. You do not have like a big circuit where you do some kind of loop and you say from I equals zero to I equals n, apply the f function. No, that's not how it works. Here, the f function is really applied independently every time. So you get a prover that whose memory is basically dependent on the size of the function that you are applying, not on the number of time that you are applying the function. So that makes things very interesting. So you can use folding schemes for recursion. This is some form of recursion that we have seen because we are just inputting the previous state into the next step. And folding schemes, a folding scheme is a coin that has been, is a term that has been coined in the Nova paper. So it's something different from what you can see in some Stark protocols. It's here, what we mean by folding is really just basically taking random linear combinations of witnesses. And the main intuition is that you can have a folding scheme when you are taking this kind of combination between witnesses, because you can show that if you know two satisfying witnesses, then if you take the linear combination of those, then you can obtain another satisfying witness. Also, the main workflow when you are using folding schemes to do IVC is that you will do your IVC computation, maybe for n steps. You will get an IVC proof, and this proof is not succinct. So you will want to you will want to compress it, basically, using something that is called a decider, And it's basically a ZK-SNARK proof. So we just snarkify the IVC proof and obtain a more succinct proof that you can then verify wherever you want, such as on-chain. All right, so let's just take a step back and try to think a bit about what folding schemes, how folding schemes look like. So there is now what I call the folding schemes zoo. So there are a lot of different kinds of folding schemes because you have a lot of different kinds of arithmetizations. You have a lot of different kinds of use cases. Some use cases use lookups, others don't. Some have a uniform computation. Some have non-uniform computations. So we end up with really a bunch of different folding schemes. Some are used for Plunkish circuits. Others use some specific kind of arithmetizations that are adapted to folding. Some do many to one folding, so not two to one, but many to one folding, meaning instead of folding two witnesses together, you can fold n of them together, so it's a very efficient form of folding. You have also lattice-based folding more recently, so that's interesting for the post-quantum security properties of those kind of things. And so we really end up with some kind of zoo with many different folding schemes. And even in terms of research, it's a very active area of research. So, for instance, just in April 2023, there was like four different kind of folding schemes proposal and way to do VMs with folding schemes. So it's a really active area of research. Recently, there was some zero-knowledge layer that was proposed for IVC proofs. So you can generate your IVC proof on a client and then make it ZK. It's very efficient. And then, for instance, send that to a server to have the server compress the proof and send the proof on-chain. So those have some really interesting zero-knowledge properties. We also have lattice fold, which is post-quantum ready and is a pretty efficient form of folding. And so there is really a bunch of stuff to talk about today about what's going on in this area of research. But let's talk a bit also about applications, because I think that some of you are interested to know what's happening there. So for instance, we did one experiment where we were building a Bitcoin Lite client. So the idea was just to prove that the current block hash that we have is has been obtained after n blocks. And so we, for instance, run a Nova, which is a folding scheme, on the proof-of-work Bitcoin algorithm for 100K blocks. And in total, that costs us $30 to verify on Optimism for running such a huge, absolutely huge computation that we wouldn't do using traditional ways of ZK-SNARK proving libraries that we have today. We also have ZK VMs today that use folding. So there is the Nexus team, I think, that is led by Jens Gross and Daniel Marin. They use, I think, Hypernova for that. There is also the Jolt team. They published an update actually today, stating that they were interested into folding, and I think they are interested for it regarding their memory checking algorithm for their ZKVM. There is also ZK machine learning. Someone baked into Nova a billion parameter, I think, or yes, something like a billion parameter. At least it was a 512 CNN network that they baked into Nova and for which they generated a proof. And I think it amounted to something like a billion parameters model. So you have also ZK machine learning. So there is really a bunch of projects that have been building on folding schemes lately. So yeah, for that, we have built Sonobe. And this is what Arno is going to talk about.
Hi. Once you are interested into like being able to use folding schemes for your like recursive circuits, so we have this library. It's like a very experimental thing intended for research, but we are starting to like now polish things. So the idea was to have this modular library where we are able to add and test new folding schemes, compare schemes like apples to apples, and also that allowed researchers to easily add their own schemes, as happened with the MOBA paper by Nethermint. They published the paper where they use Sonove to test their like new design, which they implemented on top of Sonove. And now this is, it was a pull request in Sonove, so now this is merged, so now like part of it is in the library. Also, but also the idea is to make it easy for devs to use folding. Like the idea is that they should have minimal code to be able to then fold the circuits, this idea of plug and fold. And but also allow, since we are building this on top of the ArcWorks set of library, the idea is that it's easy to switch, thanks to ArcWorks, between different curves, but then in Sonove, also switching between different folding schemes. And also, we have some experimental, like ZK circuit language, kind of like interfaces where you can use like other than ArcWorks languages to define the circuit that you want to fold. And also, like the third kind of like pillar of Sonove was to be able to verify on chain the folding proof, because this was something that we were not able to find in any of the other folding implementations because of the Ethereum characteristics. So yeah. As a remark, this is like a very experimental and research library, and for the moment, it's unoptimized. So yeah. So that's the developer experience of Sonove. This is like what you already saw. This is like the idea of the folding schemes, and this is like how this maps to Sonove. It's very simple. Like the dev just needs to define the circuit that wants to be fold, select which folding scheme to be used. For example, Nova plus CycleFold, but then you can swap and with just changing one line of code into using Hypernova or Protogalaxy. Then also setting the final decider that generates this compressed snark proof. And then in the case that you are using the on-chain decider, you can then also generate the Solidity code, like the template that you can then deploy, and you can use this to verify the proofs on-chain. Status of the library. So far what we have fully implemented is like Nova, Hypernova, and Protogalaxy folding schemes, the three of them using CycleFold techniques. And then also for Nova, we have like the full Solidity verifier there. For Hypernova and Protogalaxy, like we have the code in Rust that generates the proofs and so on, but it's just a matter of like putting time to doing the Solidity also. Then also we started to introduce this MOBA and Nova. These are just like variants to the Nova scheme. So it's like with some tweaking and some abstractions, we can reuse most of the already existing Nova code that we have there. So it should be easy to fit them in also. And then for the front end, like how you can define the circuit that you want to fold, this is done through some interface. By default is ArcWorks, but as an experimental thing, which is a bit slower, you can also use Circom, Noah, and Noname. But yeah, so just to give you a bit of sense, Nova is using this random linear combination for the folding part, which this needs to be checked inside a circuit. So then Hypernova, instead of doing this random linear combination, it linearizes the instances and then runs the SAM check to prove the relation. And then Protogalaxy is, instead of random linear combination, is doing linear combinations with the Lagrange basis in one of the settings, and in the other setting is also using the SAM check. But just to give you a bit of sense of that different schemes use different techniques, so one of the goals also here is like to be able to see in different use cases which one fits better and so on, so having this modularity. Then, okay, so this is how it looks like the F circuit interface. This is like the circuit that you want to actually fold. You just need to implement this, like the first three methods are just like very simple things. And then step native and generate step constraints, those are like the logic that you want to do at each fault. Step native is what you do in Rust, like outside the circuit. And generate step constraints is where you define the logic of the circuit that you want to fold. So this is like the constraint that you are folding actually. So just by defining this interface, like if you implement it, then you can plug this into Sonove. And then Sonove takes care of like wrapping this inside the augmented function circuit and doing the IBC folding and the rest of checks and so on. So the idea is to have this very simple interface that also this is used, so when you want to include a new ZK language into and being able to use Sonove, just by implementing this for the language that you want to use, you already have it. Then This is like the usual code that you need using Sonover to fold the circuit. So the main idea is that here you define which folding schemes you want to use. And also, like as you see, this Pedersen G1, Pedersen G2. So the G1, G2, those are like the curves that you use. We need a cycle of curves, but you can pick most of the curves that are available in Artworks. And then the Pedersen G1, Pedersen G2, this is like the commitment scheme that we use in the first curve and the secondary curve of the curve cycle. And then the rest is like more or less will be the same. Like here we are doing 100 steps of this proof step, which is like the actual folding of the IBC. And at the end, you can just verify the last one. And so here you are proving like that after 100 repetitions of this computation, you obtain this final step coming from the first initial state. So that's the main idea. As you can see, I mean, it's quite simplified. And easy to, like, I mean, it's easy to reason, easy to have this working and so on. And then when you want to change which folding scheme you are using, it's as simple as just taking this line, and then you can say, okay, I want to use still Nova, but now I want to have, in the first curve, I will use KGG commitments, so that then I can use the final decider, the on-chain decider, that I can then send proofs to Ethereum and be verified. Or you can say, oh, you know what? I'm going to change to Hypernova. So you don't need to throw away your code. You can just replace this line, and now you are using Hypernova. Or I'm going to use Protogalaxy. So you can then, doing this like easy line, one line change, you should be able to have this. Then, when it comes to the decider, so we've been folding. We have this last IBC state with the last IBC proof. So now what we can do is like we can compress it with the decider. So we have the off-chain decider and the on-chain decider. So it's also like a similar interface. And then here is how do you use it. And one of the key things was this on-chain verification. So was one of the goals, because and we've not seen any other folding schemes libraries having this on-chain verification. So the idea is that in the original Nova, this decider, this compressing of the IBC proof, is done through two Spartan proofs, one on each of the curves. In our case, since we are interested in verifying inside the EVM, the EVM has some kind of restrictions. Like we are limited to a single curve, the VN254, and also constrained by the gas costs. So we had to do a bit of gymnastics to fit this. So this is like a very high level idea. So we are using CycleFold. We end up having some instances. And what we do is we combine some Growth 16 circuit that also contains some non-native arithmetic stuff, combined with the KGG commitments proof. So at the end, in Ethereum, we just verify one Growth 16 and two KGG commitments, for the case of Nova, for example. So this is very succinct and cheap in terms of gas costs. And also, yes, so you can generate the Solidity code also from the library. So to wrap up, some preliminary numbers. Just as a remark, until now, we've been focusing on implementing the various folding schemes, not on optimizing. So that's why now we have the Nova, Hypernova, and Protogalaxy, all of them using CycleFold. We've not been focusing on optimization and efficiency, but it looks like the current numbers that we have when we run some preliminary benchmarks, they look promising. And the next steps will be to start profiling, optimizing, and adding benchmarks, and like stopping adding new papers that are appearing, and focus for a few months to like optimizing things and making them a bit more fast and parallelizing and so on. And then getting to a first release, because until now it's just like commit after commit and the interface might break. So some unoptimized preliminary numbers. So each folding step, this is the recursive iteration. For a minimal circuit, it takes like 300 milliseconds. There is this overhead of the fixed cost of the 50,000 50,000 R1CS constraints. So it takes this like about 300 milliseconds on a like today's laptop. Then, when you want to proof off-chain the decider, currently it takes less than 1 minute. It should be much less, but it's just that we are using pairing-based snarks on both sides of the curve cycle. The idea is that this should be using Spartan at some point, and the modified version of Spartan that uses the relaxed R1CS, so then it should be also quite efficient. And then for the off-chain decider, which is one of the main contributions from Sonove, we have this big circuit at the end that does this gymnastics and non-native arithmetic stuff to fit into the Ethereum curve. That it takes less than 3 minutes in my ThinkPad. And the gas costs are 800k of gas, mostly from Growth 16 proofs and KGG proofs. One Growth 16 and two KGG proof in case of Nova. The idea is that this should be reduced to less than 500 with some tricks of the hashing and of the bound leak inputs and of the combinations of pairings. So just as a wrap up, main takeaways that you can get from this talk. First of all, folding schemes are not a tool that fits in all the use cases, but when it fits into some use case that you have something that it's like the same structure of the circuit, very repetitive and done a lot of times again and again and again, then folding presents a big speed up compared to full recursion of other approaches. And then, some of it is experimental, the schemes that we have, and we have the on-chain verification, and preliminary benchmarks look promising, and the next steps in the short term is to optimize and benchmark well and do memory profiling and so on. And that's it.
Cool, cool. Gracias, Arnaud. Merci, Pierre. So I personally actually use Sonobe, and I can tell that it is quite generic and also easy to use. So if we take some questions. So the most upvoted one is the first one. So folding schemes initially gained a lot of attention, but we haven't seen many advantages in practical implementation against stocks. Can you compare them with stocks and what are the advantages? Quite opinionated question, right?
Yeah, so one of the perspectives that we have on folding schemes in general is that it's not this tool that fits into all use cases, like the same hammer that you can use on everything. It's very kind of specific, and like specifically in Sonobe, we have this IBC model. So this you need to model your use case to that. So it will not fit all the use cases, but for the ones that it fits, then it's substantially faster than doing full recursion with the Starks. But it's not as flexible as you will have with when you are doing full recursion, for example, taking a Plonky to circuit where inside you verify a previous Plonky to proof. This is like full recursion, and so part of your circuit is doing the full verification of the previous Stark proof. This is more expensive, this is a bit slower, but it's much more flexible and easy to manage and from the engineering point of view also. With folding is more specific, so not for all the use cases, but when you have a use case that it fits well, it's like in 300 milliseconds you can like do each one of the recursive steps.
Okay, makes sense. Maybe you can also do folding with stocks, which takes us to the second question. What's the status of folding of all stocks?
So our team didn't really work on that. Maybe you want to. Do you have something? To
so add? there was some paper where they were showing how to do folding of stocks. Bounded to a certain number of repetitions. And I think the ARC paper came last month or something like this.
I think the one was like MOVA that does stocks folding, or is it something else?
MOVA is it's like a variant of Nova.
Okay.
There are being improvements, so far this library has been focusing on IBC with like R1CS or CCS surrounding things, not with Starks. The same for lattice fault. I see a next question regarding to lattice fault.
Yeah.
Lattice fault also requires a different, you work over the rings of polynomials and not on the finite fields that we use in the traditional SNARKs. So also it will require having first some layer of all this instead of the field arithmetic, the ring stuff that it's not at least in our works. And the folding Starks, it looks promising because Starks are already fast. If we can get to a state where we can use the folding techniques. So the main idea is that with folding without the Starks, we use these homomorphic commitment schemes so that you can combine commitments to some vectors or polynomials. And then this result of this linear combination of them still holds some relations. With Starks, since the commitments are not additively homomorphic, we are not there yet, but it looks like the people in the academia or behind the papers will bring some improvements.
Yeah, I think Dan Bonnet is waiting for you to implement lattice fold. So next question, folding papers work with different arithmetization, R1CS, Plonky, CCS. Now that you did the implementation, is it efficient for anything other than R1CS? Another opinionated question.
Is it efficient for anything other than R1CS? So there is basically Lattice Fold that is not using the R1CS optimization, where you can use the idea that are from the previous folding papers for a different kind of arithmetization. So there is also the question above, what's the status of folding for stacks? You can reuse the ideas that were in folding papers for another kind of arithmetic, I guess the AR arithmetization. So for a different kind of, for an arithmetization that is different from R1CS. I guess that answers the question.
Yeah, if I understand. I think so, yeah. If we can just scroll down to see the questions, or maybe I can check them on my phone. Yeah. So how does Sonobi compare to Nexus?
So first of all, Nexus is like a full company backed by VCs, and their team is amazing. Like, it's a bunch of people from Stanford, and so very good team. Sonobi is like a small team, like we are like 3-4 people, and we've been doing this, but like in a more experimental, like not production focused. But so far, the benchmarks that we run, when you run the benchmarks in the same machine for the Nova implementation, it's almost like the same. Like, it's like from 300 milliseconds in Nexus Nova to 310 milliseconds in Sonobi. So it's almost the same. Hypernova in Sonobi is much slower, but because it's far from being optimized. And then we also have the Protogalaxy, but in Nexus it's not there. But so the thing is that both libraries are based on Artworks, so like the maximum speed should be similar. And both are using CycleFold, which like the Microsoft Nova is not using CycleFold, so it has a different trade-offs.
So we are time for the Q&A. So why if we thank again our speakers and give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.